So, Father, we thank you for, you know, you speak to us in the most silly times and the hidden times and the times we're small and weak and we're just here. It's nothing special, and certainly I'm probably the least of all to even say anything. We're all together. We just want to hear you. We just want to hear your heart, and we just want to hear things that are on your heart, Lord. We just want to hear the word straight from your heart, right where the burden is lying, in your bosom, and the things for today, Lord, that you're doing in us in ways that will really bring forth your Son. And we're not interested in teaching or even hearing something. We're interested in what you're doing in us for more of the real Jesus. So let that be what we have together today in the word, moving that way in our hearts. We know you are, but we just want you to know we're with you in that way, Lord, together. And so just have your way, Lord. Be blessed. Be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go ahead. And we're going to start in Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. And I'll just kind of read through the scriptures the way the Holy Spirit laid them out. Joshua chapter 1. And we're looking down into verse 10. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 10. And it says, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare food supplies, for within 3 days you're going to pass over this Jordan. Go into the land to possess the land, which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it." And the key word here is possess. We're going to see this word in Daniel. But there is this season in the maturity and in the walk of the believer, both individually and corporately, where the Lord starts saying, man, it's time that I'm going to bring you through the cross in a way, through the Jordan, where you're going to start possessing things that took you down inside of you, things that controlled you, things that got you like out of control, couldn't make it, just the real stuff. It's the season of possessing things, and that's where Joshua comes in, and that's what that verse is alluding to in the time period of these people. So let's go to Daniel now. So we're in chapter 7 of Daniel, but let's start in verse 1, chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed, and he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spoke and said, "I saw my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea." So he's laying there in bed, and this is the stuff that God's starting to deal with his gut over. I mean, it's after the day, after the teaching, after the crises, after everything, the whirl, the swirl, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the Bible school, whether it's in the home life, whether it's in the mental life, you know, all the crazy things. But when you're laying on the bed at night, and this is the stuff that God starts touching on when all of the crazy day is over. And these are the things that the Spirit's landing on, not in a teaching manner, but in that deep gut dealing level of your being, where you're like, oh boy, this is where the Lord is doing stuff inside of me. And now he's really talking beyond the words and the teachings and even the dealing crisis around me in the day. He's getting to me in my insides. I believe that's kind of that feel I get from this. So it's Daniel saying, "I saw this in my vision by night." Laying on his bed, the visions of his head upon his bed, and he's seeing this, but this is all related to what's going on inside of him. And this is what he sees, verse 3. There's these four great beasts are coming up from the sea, diverse from one another. And I just ask your patience with me, forgiveness of me if this is wrong, but this is the way I felt the Lord was showing this angle of these verses to me today. Whether it be of him or not, you can judge. But I saw these four great beasts coming up from the sea, like deep, deeply and intensely personal to Daniel. Like this was his areas inside of him that were rising up like beasts and just taking over his being. They're rising up from the sea, from the deep places within Daniel. And they're all diverse from one another. And one's dealing with this, another's that. It's not even like these beasts are related to one issue, one person, one problem inside. They're just diverse. There's just, I'm a mess on so many different levels kind of thing. If it were only just one beast or two that were related to the same area. But no, it's three. And they're all rising from my depths. And they're all diverse. And then it goes on and it begins to describe these beasts. Verse 4, this first beast is like a lion. It has eagle's wings. And I beheld till its wings were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon its feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast. It's the second one. It's like a bear. And it raised itself up on one side. And it had three ribs in its mouth, in between its teeth. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon its back four wings of a fowl, and the beast had four heads, and dominion was given unto it. And after this I saw in my night vision a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, strong, exceedingly great, iron teeth devouring and breaking in pieces and stamping the residue with its feet, different than all the other beasts. It had 10 horns. So after I read that, the Holy Spirit said, go back and I want to speak about each one of these beasts, but a little more specific. So let's go back to verse 4 in chapter 7, to the first one. It's like a lion. It has eagle's wings. I beheld till its wings were plucked. It was lifted up from the earth, made to stand upon its feet as a man. And this is the key verse that he, portion of the scripture that he landed on. And it had a man's heart given to it. And I felt like the Spirit said, this beast wars against the heart, wars against the things of the heart. It has these things that want to move with the Lord from our hearts, rise up with the Lord like wings, like when you get heart wings and you want to, you know, be with him above the earth, and you want to take flight, and your faith, your love, and your heart begins to embrace that oneness, and these wings get plucked, and this attack comes to the things that are in your heart for Jesus, for the Lamb. It's an attack, and this beast wars against that aspect of your being, of your heart for God, your oneness with the Lamb being. It wars against that, this beast. But verse 5 has another aspect of the war going on inside in this night vision. Behold, there's another beast. It's a second one. It's like a bear. And it raises itself up on one side. And it has three ribs in the mouth of it between its teeth. And it says thus unto it, let's arise and devour much flesh. Some of you may recall Randy's blog on Jesus Loves Ribs. And in that blog, he was talking about how those ribs are a picture of the wife of the Lamb, the Bride of Christ, the church, as the one who was taken from his side, even as Eve was taken from the rib, or formed out from the rib that was taken out from Adam's side, which is like a type and shadow of Jesus in his death to bring forth the church, his bride, the wife of the Lamb. So here we have these ribs, and this being what I felt the Spirit said, war against the bride, that this beast rising in Daniel's vision, rising inside of him, if you will, was something that was warring against that bride heart, warring against that part of him that wanted to be with the Lamb as a wife, that wanted to abide in that truth of his heart, but beyond the truth, to be with him, to be his, to flow in oneness, to allow that to form, that this beast is rising to devour much flesh, to attack that bride, to war against her, to war against that aspect of Christ, Christ in his bride, and as she's forming, as that is forming in her, he is forming in her in that way. So we've got the attack on the heart, we've got the war on the bride. And then in verse 6, you find the third beast. It's a leopard. After this, I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon its back four wings of a fowl, the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. So this beast has wings and heads, four of each. And I felt like this was the beast warring against the mind of Christ in us, warring against life, you know, things that represent life, things that represent the mind of Christ. These are those voices, those other minds trying to function, other spirit, another nature, another kind, trying to function as our head, trying to use the knowledge of good and evil, and all the crazy stuff that goes off inside of our thoughts and our meditations and our, you know, all those judgments and things that start just raging against Jesus being our mind, the mind of Christ being in us, where we don't let it be in us. There's this war against it, and it's devouring, it's trying to destroy, it's trying to take dominion, specifically is what this verse says, take dominion over the mind of Christ and over the life, that spirit of life, when we're renewed in the spirit of our minds by the mind of Jesus, the nature of Jesus. It's wanting to take, I want to have dominion over you. I want this death to reign. I want these thoughts to take you captive. I want you to be in bondage to this view, to these approaches, to these judgments. And man, that's just warfare. I know we all have experienced that, maybe right in the middle of it right now. And it's crazy. It can be flat out war. So you've got war going on in the mind, war going on against the heart, war going on against that which is trying to join the Lord as bride. Let the Lamb be in there. Just war. And then there's this fourth beast in verse 7. It's exceedingly dreadful. It's stronger. It's got huge great iron teeth that are set on devouring and then breaking in pieces and then stamping things just to dust. And it's different than all the other beasts. And so I felt like this one's just basically warring against the seed. It's just trying to devour Christ in us. It's trying to just break us down so much that it breaks the seed. Just it devours that seed. It's going directly against Christ in us. It's an anti-Christ spirit that's headed straight for the seed, straight for Jesus. And they all are. So this is a battle. And all these beasts are that which have not been possessed, if you will. They are in possession of the vessel. They are in control. They are running wild and taking things down. They're rising. And so in verse 8, you have, I considered the horns, and we'll go past that, but go to verse 9. We'll go to verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were placed, and the ancients of days did sit. The ancient of days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool, and his throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels like fire. 10, verse 10, a fiery stream issues forth from him. Thousands of thousands minister to him. So here's this one that's on the throne. We know whenever the word behold is used, it's usually in reference to behold the Lamb of God. And the Lamb slain is the one who is enthroned eternal, as seen in the book of Revelation. I'm beholding this Lamb, the true Lord of Lords, the true King of Kings. And I'm beholding until government comes, until he is placed in his throne above all of this. And all these aspects of him are like the fiery flame. His wheels are burning fire. There's a fiery stream issuing forth. He is consuming all these beasts. His nature is rising above them through death, through the laying of down of his life. I mean, there's just this living aspect through this fire that's dealing with these beasts in incredible ways. And, you know, and it will show that here in a little bit. But this beholding comes in oneness with this living God who consumes the flesh, who deals with things in a real way, in not a teaching way, not a counseling way, but in an application of the cross. It's like fire and a sharpened knife. Verse 11, I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke. you know, that voice that keeps trying to push his way and take control and keep us down and attack the seed and attack our hearts, attack that heart for the Lord as a wife, as the Lamb's wife. He's keeping talking. He's keeping pressing forward with great words, but we're keep looking at the Lamb, and we're looking and pressing in with every fiber of our being until the beast is slain and his body is destroyed and given to the burning flame. I mean, there is something going on so radical and so crazy in this nightmare. It literally is a night vision. It's like a nightmare. But honestly, the real nightmare is when this is happening inside of us, which I know all of us understand. And in the middle of that nightmare, in the middle of that onslaught by the enemy, something happens inside of the heart of the person under attack, where they just start pressing into the Lamb in ways that are nuts, man. It's just like that fire is going to consume the body of this beast, and I am not going to stop beholding the Lamb of God in a way well beyond teaching, but in oneness beholding, until I am totally possessed of him, and until this stuff is taken down and that beast is slain, until that sharp knife at Gilgal takes down that beast all the way to true circumcision, man, until the fiery that sacrificial fire, but that God who is a consuming fire from Calvary, he consumes the body of this beast, and it's destroyed and given to the burning flame. And there's this passion going on. And the Lord shows up as the exalted Lamb on the throne in verse 9, but he's not just sitting there. He's on fire. In verse 9, the Lamb of God who shows up in the middle of this beast attack, he's on fire. He's on fire. Even his wheels are fire. His eyes are fire. He is burning like fire. His throne was like a fiery flame. Fiery streams are issuing out of this. I mean, just think about this Lamb. You look at his eyes and they are on fire. There's a fiery stream issuing out of his being. Wheels are carrying his throne around, and they're on fire. This guy is on fire. Anything that comes near, it's going to get consumed. This is the Lamb that Daniel's beholding under the beast attack. He is beholding this on fire Lamb. And any beast that gets close to this on fire Lamb is going to be consumed. And you know that those four living creatures that are called beasts in the book of Revelation, that if they are so close to this on fire, fiery Lamb throne, they have been utterly destroyed and their bodies have been given to the flame, and they are now one with the Lamb, because nothing can exist in the throne of this fiery one that hasn't been consumed. They have done this. They have done this. And that's in, you know, Revelation chapter 4, chapter 5. You can see it in Ezekiel chapter 1, etc. We all know so much about those living creatures that are testified in Ezekiel and Revelation. And this Lamb is on fire. And he shows up in verse 9 of chapter 7 when the beast is raging. And he shows up. And look what happens in verse 10. As that fiery stream's coming out of the Lamb, all of a sudden, all these thousands of saints start coming before this slaughtered Lamb that's on fire. And they start ministering to him. 10,000 times 10,000. They're ministering to him in the middle of what could be called a nightmare in the earth, a beast attack of unqualified proportion. And they behold the Lamb, and they get so close to the fiery flame of his being that they start ministering to him, and things start getting consumed. Things start getting consumed. And they keep going until all that stuff is consumed. It's just beautiful. But man, that's hardly where there's just so much more. Let's skip. There's so much. And that's where everyone can just jump in the word and just. But let's look at verse 14 real quick. No, let's look at verse 13. I'm sorry. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancients of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nation, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. It will not pass away. His kingdom cannot, shall not be destroyed. So this is the Lamb saying, these beasts, they are acting like they have dominion. They're like Goliath saying, I own this land. I have dominion over this land. I possess you and I possess this land inside of you. And the Lord's saying, hey, I am the one who God has given dominion, everlasting dominion. He's given the kingdom. It cannot be destroyed or pass away. And all these beasts that are warring against you right now, they are already defeated. They are trespassing. They are as the uncircumcised. They already have been cut off at the cross. They have been removed through the death of my son, and they no longer can rule and reign unless you let them. But I am the true possessor of heaven and earth. I am the one to whom the Father has given all dominion in you. And you're going to let that come as you draw near to me in this way. And this is what Daniel's laying there in bed, and God's dealing with him on this level. So at verse 15, Daniel's like, I am grieved in my spirit and in the middle of my body. I am grieved in my spirit and in the middle of my body. I am being dealt with so deep, I don't even know what to say. I am just grieved. And the visions of my head, they are troubling me. So I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of what all this means. He said, I said, make me know the interpretation of these things. Well, verse 17, here comes a little bit of an answer. These great beasts, which are four kings that will rise out of the earth. These great beasts, which are four kings that will rise out. You may have four kings, not just issues, not just little situations that you can't get over, or little problem with this person, or little issue with judgmentalism. You have four great kings that are great beasts that are rising out of your earth. Acknowledged. Check. God sees it. He's not freaked out. You're not the only one. Even Daniel has this. Verse 18, but, B-U-T, but, the saints of the Most High, are going to take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. There it is. Boom. But the saints of the Most High will take, they will take the kingdom and they will possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Now we're talking so high and eternal. We're talking, this is why we're on the earth, man. This is the real thing that's going on. These beasts, they're just props God's using to get that eternal Lamb enthroned in us in ways that are so far above the situations and even the lack of Christ in us that they're not even worthy to be compared to the eternal way to glory that's being revealed in us. They are light afflictions as compared to the Lamb who's fixing to be enthroned. And they're just going to work their purpose in us. I would know the truth of the fourth beast. Well, we don't have time for all that, but this fourth beast makes war against the saints and prevails. Verse 22, we're still in chapter 7, until the Ancient of Days comes and judgment's given to the saints of the Most High. Let's just look at the end of the sentence in verse 22. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. The time came in the middle of the nightmare, in the middle of knowing the Lamb is a fire that consumes. The time came that the saints, not God, but the saints through God, possessed the kingdom. And it's crazy. Look at verse 23, the next verse. Thus he said, the fourth beast is going to be the fourth kingdom on earth. He's going to be diverse from all the kingdoms. He'll devour the whole earth. He'll tread it down. He'll break it in pieces. Verse 24, ten horns out of this kingdom, or ten kings more are going to arise. Great. As if four diversely horrible beasts were not enough. Now we've got 10 kings rising. And another shall rise after them, diverse from the first. He'll subdue the... So now we've got stuff that's even worse than the first. Speaking great words against the Most High, wearing the saints. Have you ever felt worn out by all the stuff going off inside of you that you cannot get under control of the Lord? They're going to think to change times and seasons. Look at verse 26. But, again the word but, B-U-T. The judgment shall sit. All that crazy going off inside of us, great words against the Most High, wearing out this, worn out by it, by our lack of Jesus, things that are trying to even change times and seasons. Man, you, this, that, and the other, going against even the things we know are eternal, trying to move us trying to eat those ribs, trying to tear those wings, trying to devour the seed, all this attack. But the judgment will sit. Everything that God has done in His Son, the victory He wrought through the death of His firstborn Son, shall stand in the face of everything that rises against it, whether it be in us or against the seed in us from the outside. But God's judgment will sit. And here it is. And they shall take away His dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. These saints, in the midst of that, by beholding the Lamb, pressing into Him, grabbing hold and applying, they're going to take away this dude's dominion. That's not a work of the flesh. That's of oneness. That's of Him in us. And consume and destroy it unto the end. Verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey Him. The greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, who's most, He's above all that we're going through. He's above all of it, but He's not above all of it in the sense where, okay, everything's okay. I can just live as a, you know, as a sea that's being devoured by beasts and releasing beasts in the earth and consuming the lamb and the evening and morning sacrifice. That's not the message that the Spirit's trying to say. He's not trying to give you the, you're okay, I'm okay, we're all okay, let's just be in Christ and not worry about anything. No. He's saying, we got a real lamb on the throne who's on fire for His Father and for His seed and His bride. And that He's aware of what we're going through, the travail and all the junk. But if we just grab hold of Him, He's got a sharp knife like that Joshua. He's got a fiery sword like that lamb. Streams of fire that consume flesh and take beasts. We can possess this through union with the Lamb. We can bring that dominion and that kingdom. And we can do what Joshua said in chapter 1 where we started. We can be strong, be courageous. For the Lord thy God is with you and in you, and you're one with Him, and you can possess this land. There's a spirit there. There's a heart behind that. There's a passion. There's a warfare going on. But it's a warfare based on elements that have the power to destroy the enemy and put in those elements through oneness with the Lamb in our hands. All dominion. Verse 28, here is the end of the matter. Whew. All dominion shall serve and obey Him, everlasting kingdom. Here's the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Man, can you even imagine waking up from that time with the Lord on that level? Lord saying, let's just get real. I am so aware of all the stuff going off in you, in your gut, in your mind, the enemy's attack, the lack of Jesus in the unformed places where the Lamb hasn't taken the throne, the flesh is running and ruling and taking dominion. And I am aware of that which I have, my judgment shall sit. I'm aware of what I have done in my Son through His death that you are in. I'm aware of the power of His death. I'm aware of the power of the fire of that eternal altar that ever burns and consumes and deals with beasts. I am aware of the oneness that if you draw nigh to me and take that in your hands, you will possess that land by the Lamb. You will possess, you will be possessed. It's possible. It is possible. There is more than hope. There is more than hope. It's like if you were in some kind of a game, maybe a football game or something, and you're just being clobbered, man. It's just totally demolished, treaded to dust, total defeat. And you're just laying there in ashes going, and dude, I deserve every bit of this. I like failed so many times that gave the enemy opportunity to just totally take the game completely from me. And at halftime, the Lord began to speak to you and say, you have everything you need to take this. You have everything you need is in you, is in me, is in you, is in us. Living elements, eternal elements, things that have already consumed the evil one, have already dealt with all flesh and beasts, you take those in your hands and you apply them, and you're going to not just win the game. This is going to be an eternal victory. This is going to be an eternal memorial. This is going to be eternal oneness and dominion and kingdom, a kingdom that has no end. The Most High God's going to take this game, and He's going to take it in you, with you, through you, by you, but you're going to do it in oneness, and He's going to do it through you. And you've got this. Daniel's like, oh my God, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to do. I'm going to hold this in my heart. I'm freaked out. I can't just run out tomorrow and change everything, but I can begin on a whole new level. I can be real with God. I can be real with hope. I can stand in the midst of beasts rising from the sea and devouring, and lift up my eyes to the Lamb and move closer and start ministering to that fiery, slaughtered, living, consuming one, and begin to take possession through His nature alone of things I couldn't even stand next to without just falling down so deep in such a great depression, in such a great hopelessness. But now I see my victory in a slaughtered Lamb who's on fire for His bride, who's already defeated the evil one, who holds the victory in His nail-scarred hands. And I am coming, Lord. I am coming, Lord. Come on, Jesus. We can win this game. Daniel's taking it in, man. This is not teaching to him. This is not prophecy of the end times to him, in my opinion. This is personal and deep. And I believe that's the way I need to hear this. It's what it's speaking to my heart right where I'm at. Right where I'm at, right there with Daniel. Laying in the bed, holding my belly, crying out, Lord, I got to have the real Jesus right now, because my real beasts need a real Jesus. And I need You, Jesus. I need You in this way. And now that's what I'm saying. That's my heart cry. I want to get the Lord. And I want the Lord to get me. And I know that's all of our hearts as one. So, you know, let's just press in. Next year's 2020. Let our 2020 vision be seeing that Lamb is on fire. And there's power in that, the power of His death pouring out of His slaughtered side to consume these beasts that are trying to kill our heart for Jesus and our desire with Him as a bride and the seed within us of His life. And let that fire consume them and draw the Lamb onto the altar where He is released and sacrificed through us instead of consumed by the enemy. Let that be our heart cry. Let that be our faith. Let that be our desire. Let it be, Lord Jesus, according to Thy word. Be it in our heart. If that's in Your word and that's what Your spirit is crying out, be it unto us according to Thy word as we come back and be with You in the way You need us to possess to every inward part. Possessor of heaven and earth, Most High God, slaughtered Lamb on the throne on fire. Come, Lord, come. Bring forth in us, deal in the depths. Take the dominion eternally. Possess us. We want to enter in, Lord. We don't want another 40 years in the wilderness with beasts rising from the sea, attacking You and others. No, Lord, let it be. Let this be the season of entering in. Let it be a day of possessing through the Lamb. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.